keep supporting the industry. Drink wine. Drink that bottle. The special occasion is today. You're alive. You're healthy.
It's interesting watching these wines that we're making come alive.
But man, this is a really exciting time. We've got technology in ways that we access to it we never had.
The biggest decision in winemaking is when to pick.
Another thing I think about how fortunate the timing was and how we're able to put together what is a very fragile operation from farming all the way to bottling.
We say, so drink the wine. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 383. This week we feature Nazarino Vincenzi and Valentina Fracassia, Consorzio Vini, DOC, Del Venzi, Italy. Wine may not cure all ills, but during these difficult times, it can certainly help chase away the blues. Italy has been through some of the worst, but winemakers are still at their cellars and in the vineyards, making sure the 2020 harvest fares well. For this program, we spoke via telephone to oenologist and sommelier Nazarino Vincenzi and PR specialist Valentina Fracassia of Consorzium Del Venzi Pinot Grigio in Italy. This recording was made the final week of April, so you can get an idea what the timeline is.
So during the COVID virus right now, we're doing a lot of our interviews over the telephone, and today we have a couple of folks from Italy here. Specifically, we'll be talking about Pinot Grigio, and because my Italian's not so great, Nazarino, I'm going to let you both introduce yourselves, so we'll start with Nazarino first.
My name is Nazarino Vincenzi. I'm the technical director of the Consortium delle Venezie. That's a new appellation that was born in 2017, representing Pinot Grigio for the entire northeastern part of Italy through Veneto, Trentino, and Friuli. I am the technical director, so actually I'm such technical about information appellation, so it's a pleasure to have here with me today my colleague Valentina.
Yes, I'm Valentina Fracassia. I'm brand new in the consortium, actually, because I've just started to work for them in January 2020, and I'm in charge for the PR and communications and press office, and I'm trying to get in contact with journalists from the USA and the rest of the world.
Excellent. Well, the first thing I'm going to start with is, Nazarino, in your area for Pinot Grigio, how are your winemakers faring during this pandemic?
Well, first of all, we have to focus on the theme. We are talking about Pinot Grigio, so that's such a famous grape variety in the world, as well as wine. Just think that our appellation that was born in 2017 covers now more than 25,000 hectares of surfaces about just this great international grape variety. We are now more than 45% of the world's surfaces in the area, and just think that Italy is the main country for production, and now we are representing more than 85% of those surfaces. So a huge amount of vineyard able to produce quite 211 million bottles production. So we can say that we are definitely Pinot Grigio. You know, Pinot Grigio is such famous wine in the world. A lot of consumers really appreciate this great variety. And in this chaotic moment that coronavirus has produced right now, we are like in the heart of this chaotic situation here, moreover in Italy. You know, the average problems are between Veneto, San Friuli, but as well, moreover, Lombardia. That's such close to us here in this moment. I can say that our winemakers are still working a lot, even in a crisis moment. A lot of them are still working bottling and producing the bottles that are leaving Italy, going to all the trades in the world. Just think we export more than 95% of what we produce, and U.S. with 44% more or less is the main country for importing production. So it means that U.S. consumers really appreciate our Pinot Grigio. And let me say that having bottles that are mainly available in the grid distribution is such important for us, because consumers are still appreciating and can find those bottles to find the supermarket to consume at home. HoReCa and as well restaurants and bars have not the same fortune right now, but actually we really hope that in the future, as soon as possible, they're going to happen again in order to proceed and to meet again having a glass of wine together.
That would be the most important thing, to be able to be together and chat and enjoy wine as we're all supposed to do that. Pinot Grigio is a fabulous grape. What sets it apart from other wines? What would you, obviously you're a little biased, but tell us about your particular view of Pinot Grigio.
About Pinot Grigio, just think that these 26,000 hectares, more or less, have found here in the area great environmental characteristics in order to produce this wine. So a lot of vine growers really decided to improve their presence on this grape variety. Just think that northeastern part of Italy does not produce only Pinot Grigio, but also other famous appellations are in here: Amarone, Prosecco, Sauvignon from Friuli, Trento DOC from Trento, a lot of other Suave and so on, great variety and famous appellation. But in here, there's something particular that has made in this area perfect for Pinot Grigio production. So a connection that really, let me say, something that really strict that has taken the vine growers and the winemakers, that on the second part has improved their knowledge in the production of this wine. So I think that the Pinot Grigio in the past, Pinot Grigio has got a quite gray skin. In the past, started in here, it was famous for a rosé version. That the step by step during the years, during the 60s, thanks to Santa Margherita, a great idea to produce the still white version in the having a white vinification, that has improved the knowledge and has made this great variety and this wine as well famous in the world. And now we are talking about mainly about the still white version, that what we call the Stile Italiano, Italian style Pinot Grigio. That's a totally different kind of wine than the one that can be produced, for example, in Alsace or the part of the world as New Zealand. This is the style that consumers are looking for, so we hope that the consumers still love that. We can see by the number and the export production that still works.
By trade, you're an enologist as well as into biotechnology, is that correct?
Yeah, I have a degree as well in biotechnology and enologist as well. So actually, we have to improve that because everything is connected to biology.
Right, which makes sense. Well, it's all about the earth, right? Have you made wine yourself?
Well, I did not, because actually I focus my studies as well, my job. I'm working on appellation and consortia. So my job now is to work to bring vine growers and wineries together about catering about production, catering about the quality of the wine. So that's why this appellation was born. So I think that all these hectares are now protected by this appellation with a lot of control through the production chain from the vineyard to the grapes and to the final bottle. I am part as enologist as well. Blind tasting commission that tastes all the wines, you know, the sample of all the wines, and deciding whether they can be or not then bottled. At the end of all this control system, now we put on all the bottles government seal that has got a number that ensures all the traceability. Putting the number on the web, you can find all the information about the winemaker. So the knowledge is not right now just those who produce the wine, but also those other figures who are working on production, controlling, and working on having a guarantee the quality of those wines.
Right. So really, it's all about controlling what gets released, so the ultimate quality is going to the consumer. Correct?
Yeah. This appellation has ensured quality first of all by having a further specification, so rules ensuring to live on the vineyard quite 26 hectoliters per hectare. So that's a huge work for the vine growers in order to ensure quality. Our goal right now is also to work on as well on the research in order to ensure the quality of this wine, to research, to understand what's working inside on a biochemical point of view inside the vineyard as well, inside the bunch, in order to work together with the enologists on one side to work in a better way to ensure the quality and ensure as well the quality of this wine in terms of shelf of life, for example, but as well in terms of the quality of the final product. On the other side, we're working together with the vine growers as well in the vineyard, ensure to control, to work in a better way for sustainability, but as well in work not to use too much residual chemicals inside of the vineyard. So that's a huge work here in Italy on sustainability, not just for an environmental situation, but as well to ensure the final consumer to have a healthy wine inside the bottle.
Excellent, as it should be. Obviously, all over the world, there's been concerns with climate change. I'm sure you've talked about this many times. What do you see as far as Italy goes? I know many wine-growing regions have been harvesting earlier. Is that the same for you?
Well, you know, Pinot Grigio is normally harvested here in Italy at the beginning of August. In that way, we can just ensure the consumer having just at the beginning of the next year the new vintage on the trade. On that way, environmental characteristics are changing. But here in Veneto, in Trentino, in the northeastern part of Italy, we have a huge amount of rivers and Garda Lake and all the characteristics that ensure as well to have the to maintain an environment that is able to still work, you know, on the grapes for the wine production. Everything is changing here as well. Research, I was telling before, is working for having some vines that can resist through parasites, but as well through against the other, how can I say, hard condition that the environment is changing right now. We are working a lot to ensure continuing producing wine in a better way by respecting the environment, but as well in order to work in the direction to ensure the consumer the quality they need.
Sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You are in the Veneto area of Italy. Is that correct?
Yeah. The headquarters of the consortium is in Veneto and in Friuli. But the appellation represents all the area of Trentino, Veneto, and Friuli. So three regions. I think that is the biggest appellation in Italy right now in terms of surface covered.
And is that the northern part of the country, northern to the east, or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, this is part of Italy, between Trento, then getting down to Garda Lake, close to Verona, you know, the city of Romeo and Juliet, Vicenza, Padua, then Venice, and all the Friuli through Pordenone, Udine, and then the other is two, Trieste at the end of Italy. So that's the biggest project in getting together, three regions.
Yeah, it's a very big area. For you, how long have you been in the wine industry?
10 years ago, more or less, when I finished my university career, let me say.
Was it your intent when you were younger to go into the wine industry, or were you looking for something different? I mean, obviously, as an Italian, wine is so much in your blood and so important in that country. Was this something you wanted to go into? Or?
Well, it's been quite strange for me because actually, you know, had a degree, a double degree in biotechnology. And I was working on my thesis on the lactobacteria. So I was on yogurt, cheeses, and so on. And then I had the chance to have a study on something that's such important for us because I was working on the recovery of the CO2 produced by the fermentation, the second fermentation. And that's quite, you know, for us right now is working on sustainability as well. But then I decided, through this chance, I fell in love totally in wine and decided to have a second degree on enologist. And now, you know, I'm working on communication as well. So it's quite a strange figure right now. But I totally fell in love in wine. Then I live in Verona, so you can see Amarone, Suave, a lot of appellation that has given me the chance to work in this sector that definitely has a lot of different faces.
Nice. Not a bad place to live. Not a bad way to live, right? Tasting wine, etc.
Really. Really, really. Tasting wine, but also food and wine pairing. You know, we are in a wonderful area that, you know, Mediterranean cuisine as well as typical dishes. With the consortium now, we work on the social as well in order to help the consumer in the work as well, working on this food and wine pairing. We have some recipes on our website. Weekly, we really have released different dishes to try at home as well. But, you know, what's good about Pinot Grigio, I fell in love a lot, that the characteristic, the food and wine pairing all around the world, that's why the consumer really fell in love in that. You can have the Pinot Grigio with the Chinese, Thai, sushi, Italian cuisine, Mexican, and so on. So it's really a wine that is able to have a lot of food when pairing.
It's definitely a wine with a broad appeal, that's for sure. What is your season looking? I know we're early. This is late April. Any gut feeling what the growing season's looking like in Italy this year, or at least your part of Italy?
Yeah, here right now it's working in the right direction, let me say. We probably are going to have some less grape than the last years in terms of quantity, and we are working as well because, as you can imagine, coronavirus has created some problem as well in the capacity of the trades to absorb what we produce. We then export 96% of what we produce, so actually we have as well to take care about what we produce. There's a great discussion in here how to move in that direction, and that's my main work during this month. But actually, I can say, you know, the vineyard is still working, still growing, and the grapes are still produced. We can, right now, in this moment, we can say we're taking a view to the future. We're going to have a good vintage this year. I can see to try that in a bottle.
That would be the best way to do it. This is kind of a broader question for your period of time in the wine business. Is there one major lesson you've learned, one major thing that you would regard as one of the most important things you've learned about the wine business and dealing with grapes?
Well, if we have, if we connect that with the Pinot Grigio, in my mind, personally, it's that through the entire Triveneto, there are a lot of wineries, enormous wineries, cooperatives, family condition wineries. There are different, you know, panorama on the types of the wineries, who they are, what they produce. There's a lot of love through all them in the wine production. No, not just about Pinot Grigio. In my mind, I would like that the trade just sometimes care some much more about what's behind that. There are, just imagine our appellation, there are hundreds and hundreds of vine growers working to produce as better as they can in a sustainability way as well. The best grapes they can produce in order to work to ensure that the final consumer as well quality. It's not just a glass of wine, a bottle of wine. There's a lot of families behind that. They're working every day. It doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, about any climatic condition to bring grapes back home, fermenting them, having the better wine as they can. So the wines that are on the trays are not just a glass of wine. That's a lot of history, traditions, families, and as well a lot of work behind a bottle of wine. On the trays, you know, when deciding which is the right price for a bottle of wine, sometimes we have to think some much more about that as well.
Well, that's what's great about Pinot Grigio. It's a very affordable wine.
Yeah, having a cheap price doesn't mean that it's a cheap wine as well. You know, probably we have a huge amount of Pinot Grigio to put on the trays to be bought from the trade to the final consumer. But actually, we have, in my mind, we should the entire trade, those who buy those bottles to put it on the shelves or in the rack and so on, they have to take care some more about that.
So, how do you talk to somebody, whether it be on the job, whether it be casually, why should somebody try Pinot Grigio?
Pinot Grigio, it's a wine that we can say has a different, it's not just a white steel wine. Since it has, as I told you, a great skin, you can bring out, for example, the color having a maceration in order to have the copper version, why there was a version, the blush, as consumers usually call that. Then you can have, the still version. You can have the frizzante version. You can have the sparkling version. In the Alsatian style, it's such like a sweet wine, more or less, because of the condition, but as well on the tradition in producing a wine in that way. If you go to New Zealand, you can have some wine that stays in oak. So getting back to our style, the Italian style, so just steel for a steel white wine, no oak at all. Simply wine. Pinot Grigio is such a versatile wine, but also such a versatile grape variety. So for the wine pairing, in order to have that with any kind of dish, any kind of situation with friends and so on. But on the other side, you have a great that you can produce different style of wines. So the versatility of this wine or this grape is such important. It's a grape that you can produce quite whatever you want.
Very good. Good answer. Valentina, was there anything you wanted to add at all?
Well, yes. My work in the PR and press office, in this context of coronavirus as well, for the promotion and for all the activities who refer to press, journalists, bloggers, are compromised as well. So we had to find new strategies, new actions to reach and to promote our products. So we, for example, we are launching now a project with a very famous here in Italy, with a very famous face of the wine world, whose name is Filippo Bartolotta. Maybe you know him by the name. He's a very famous sommelier and storyteller of the wine. So we asked him to present the new vintages, the 2019. Vintage of our product, of our company, through some video clips he held. So also in the communications, we had to find new way for presenting our companies and our members.
Are you doing online tastings at this point via the internet?
Yes, in Italy we have some examples of online tastings, but it's not our case. We just realized some video clips to provide our members with, to send, for example, to their clients, to buyers, for presenting their new vintages. But we know that there was the chance to organize online tastings, but we didn't. We just produced some video clips with the tastings.
I ask this question because it's become right now the new normal with so many winemakers to do online tastings simply to be able to keep themselves visible to the consumer. And that's why I ask, do you think that's something you'll be moving into? Because none of us right now know the end of this particular situation.
Yes, I think that this situation taught us something very important. The communication on the social media, for example, is very important to reach the final consumer, above all. I hope that this new trend will continue in our country, but also in the rest of the world, because it is very important to inform, educate also the final consumer on what he's selecting or what he's buying.
True. And more important, too, regardless of what's happening socially right now, it gives American wine drinkers the ability to talk to an Italian winemaker via the internet, which is really pretty amazing, something we haven't really done in the past.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. And I hope that this, as I said, that this trend will continue also beyond the coronavirus, because we really experience how we can easily reach the final consumer through an Instagram post or an Instagram story. That is something that we really didn't do very well in the past. For us, I know that maybe in the United States it works more, but here in Italy, we didn't take the right advantage from the social media as we had to. So I hope that this will be a lesson for us. Also, of course, we hope that everything is over soon, because it's a crazy situation. But I think that this situation also taught us something very important and how to continue to communicate even in a crazy situation.
Let me just add, if I can, that taking a look to the data, we have a great picture about who the consumer in the U.S. So about the age, it's such important, because between 21 and 24, we just have 5% of the total control that says that they drink in Grigio. We have an increase in number about 21% between 25 and 34 years old. It means that they are more or less the people who are still using Instagram, Facebook, and so on right now. So it's actually important for the wineries to have both videos talking about the wines. But in my mind, since we are living in a wonderful place, panorama, a place that's wonderful to believe. It's like to go to Napa Valley. You cannot go there just taking a look. You have to drink a glass of wine, understanding when you are. And it's giving you some much more emotion being in there as well. So it's such important for the wineries to improve as well, the presence on the social, having videos about the vineyards, about where they are, having a panorama describing how this wine is done, how it is produced, having an interview to the knowledge, for example, not to be too much technical, but giving some information, some ideas about all the care I told you before, all the love that's behind that. This is the occasion to fix in a video, to fix on a post, to fix on a picture. All these, there are all the tradition, all these, there are important information, important messages from here.
But above all, we need to drink the wine.
It is.
Valentina and Nazarino, I really appreciate you both taking the time today to talk. Certainly, our hearts go out to you there in Italy because you've certainly had a struggle, and of course, now the entire world does. So thanks for taking the time and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure even to have given us the chance to present not just us, but also the Appalachian, all the winemakers, wine growers that are behind our consortium, association of producers. So that's such an important message that you have given the chance to send to the U.S. consumer, the world consumer.
Yes. And thank you. We really hope that we will have soon the chance to welcome you to Verona, maybe, for organizing a press tour. Maybe.
I would love to go there. Thank you both very much. Good health to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Be safe. Bye.
See you soon. Bye. Thank you.
Learn more by visiting delavenzi.it.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Copyright 2020.